Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, welcome to Walls in Our Minds. This is Terry Dodd, and I'm here tonight with my co-host, Dr. Kate.
Good evening.
You have a live mic. Hello.
I have a live mic. Good evening, everyone.
Our guest, Jeff Wright, is on with us, but I'm going to open us with a prayer before I make that introduction. So let's go to prayer. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you so much for the way that you bless us in so many ways. And tonight we want to lift up our brother, Red Beckman, to you. Red is in the hospital, as you know, and we're asking for your healing hand to be on him tonight. We're hoping that the tests that he's gone through today will turn out positive, and we just we pray that it was a rib and not his heart, and we're just praying, Father, that you would be with him, you would strengthen him, and you would get him home quickly, because you know best that he really doesn't like being in a hospital. So, Father, we're thankful tonight that we have Jeff Wright with us, and we're praying that your spirit goes before us in this show, and that you guide us in everything that we say and do, and that we can do this show in a way that will glorify you. And it's in your son's name, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, tonight we've got I think it's going to be an extremely interesting show with Jeff Wright. Jeff is an IT systems engineer. He's been involved in government service younger in his life when he was younger, and worked in Navy security. And we're just going to open the floor. Jeff, we want to say hello to the listening audience.
Yes, good evening, Terry. How are you?
I'm doing great, and it certainly is wonderful to have you with us. And we're hoping that that we're going to be able to make it through the show tonight. There's been some warnings from BTR, so if people are having a little trouble getting in, or if we run into too much technical difficulty, we might just have to call it a night. But so far, we're doing really well, and God's blessing us. So we're pleased to be on and to be heard at the moment. But I just want to open the floor up to you, Jeff, and let you kind of let the people know your background and who you are. We'll be talking a little bit about your book, Citizen's Last Stand. Are you ready? I've been trying to get into that and digest it a little bit, and it's certainly a good read. I mean, you've done an excellent job of I appreciate the fact that you have let people know you in this book, and it is a I feel like I know you a lot better just because I've been reading it, and that's a compliment, because a lot of authors don't really reveal themselves and show that kind of vulnerability, and it's been a pleasure so far to read. So let our listeners have a little taste of who and what you're about.
Well, thank you, Terry. I appreciate that. It was a goal of mine in writing The Citizen's Last Stand to help people understand my perspective when writing in the later chapters about the general themes that I was trying to put together and express to people. But if you understand perspective, I think it has a lot more impact for the story. And I've taken a pretty circuitous route to get to this point where I came to sit down and write The Citizen's Last Stand. But I did want to make sure that before at a very basic level that this is really a human story, and not just a abstract story about a political struggle. and that's what I tried to do in the book. I was, it kind of started out for me how I got on this path was I was living in Idaho as a young man, and which had its own story of how I got there, how my parents wound up moving there and buying their hay farm and getting into life in Idaho. But as it turned out, fate was involved. And what happened was I was recruited by the Naval Security Group right out of high school as a cryptologist. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Got a little note there. I thought it disconnected. I was recruited as a cryptologist, as I said, right out of high school. And it wasn't a hard choice when they came around and offered me the advantage of traveling the world and working in and out of embassies or on board ships in what are called intelligence collection platforms. A lot of people on the internet now know them as Echelon sites, which I had no idea what that was at the time, back in 1973. But I was recruited to do that work, and when they offered me the chance, I kind of jumped on it because at the time I was sorting potatoes and moving irrigation pipes and bucking hay, and a guy comes in to my parents' house and says, would you like to be a kind of an electronic spy, work in and out of embassies and travel the world? And so it really wasn't a hard choice at that point. I thought that'd be real interesting. And that launched me off on this path. Well, over the next 6 years to being a technical liaison for the National Security Agency for building different types of collection systems that we listened in throughout the Far East, primarily on Soviet and Communist Chinese military units and bases and political communications and all kinds of things. And I got a pretty eye-opening education as to exactly how both our intelligence, foreign policy, and national defense apparatus worked in that period. I then proceeded into a career in defense systems, proceeded my career into defense systems contracting, and I was building very complex systems primarily here in Colorado Springs and between here and Washington, D.C., which were part of the space system, what's now called Space Systems Command, out of Colorado Springs, some of the initial platform pieces that were built here. Well, after about 11 years of that, I got really tired of defense systems procurement, and that's when I went into commercial engineering and started building information systems networks for a lot of the Fortune 500 and eventually narrowed that down to the Fortune 50. And I was primarily focused on financial and commercial banking, as well as international banking, all different kinds of banking and financial firms, and mostly located in Wall Street through the decade of the 90s. By the end of the 90s, I was a chief consulting engineer for Bell Laboratories, building nothing but large-scale financial systems. And between the intelligence business and the commercial networking business, through all the different industries I worked on and up and down the I came to have a pretty fundamental inside view of how things operated at all levels of our economy and our government. And by 2000, I decided that I'd had enough all the way around. And that's when I ran out of New York like my hair was on fire, as I like to tell people. I just simply seen too much and needed to start talking to people about what was going on and about some of the disaster that was on its way. That's what I've been doing for most of the last 12 years is I got highly politically active and have been involved in trying to get the message out of what's happening and warn people that what's coming is not like anything we've seen in the last century and a half. It's going to be very different. And things are going to happen that a lot of people never thought could happen to our economy, to our banking system, to our culture and to our society. After years of goading from friends and neighbors and relatives, I finally sat down in 2011 to write this book, The Citizen's Last Stand, to give people a real fundamental idea of what we face, and a plan, I think, can help us get out of it.
Well, Jeff, you have a rare perspective because of the work that you've done at the state level, particularly with Tabor and such. You've been around some people who have, you know, in the state of Colorado, for example, where you had one of the first state sovereignty bills that were, or resolutions that was put forth here back, I guess that was in the mid-90s, like 95, wasn't it?
1994, we got that passed. Yeah, that was Senate Bill 157.
So yeah. you have a really good perspective on the place where we need to be working. And I'm excited about that because we've come to that conclusion over the last 4 or 5 years ourselves that, you know, trying to do something on a national level, and I'm even hesitant to even use that term national, by the way, but point is that Washington, D.C. seems to be hopeless, and you seem to have that common understanding in your book, and we've been trying to encourage people to be vocal local, if you will, and that is to get involved in an area where they can have an influence, because on the national level, there's nobody listening, and they're not going to listen. So I'm going to shut up and let you keep going here, but I just wanted to share that I appreciate that perspective.
Well, one thing that I say a couple of times in my book is we cannot expect to get control of our government that's 2,500 miles away if we don't have control of our government that's right out our front door. That kind of illustrates what you're talking about, Terry, is the fact that as recent events have shown in Colorado, and I consider my political home in Colorado, even though I live in Idaho now because I spent 26 years here working on very active from 91 on, as you mentioned, on the Tabor issue. And having seen the state system from the inside out as well as from a large piece of the federal structure, I simply came to the conclusion, and I think the analysis that I put together in the book pretty well demonstrates that we're not going to fix things at the federal level at this point. Most of what's going on there is pretty much baked in the cake, and it's simply playing itself out like a bad Shakespearean drama. And that's going to continue until it self-implodes. Even though I offer a chapter about what do we do about the Fed, as you might read, it's kind of sarcastic because I don't really believe at this point that a lot of what we could do could have a lot of effect simply because the fiscal and financial situation is well outside of anybody's control at this time, theirs or ours. And the best thing that we can do at this time is to try and get as strong a grip on our local, county, and state government as we possibly can, which even when you look out here in Colorado or out throughout Colorado, you can see it's in pretty bad shape. Now, a lot of the western states are a lot better politically than Colorado, but we have problems in all our states, and one of the biggest problems we have throughout all the states is the fact that they simply, many state legislatures simply refuse to stand up on their hind legs and states. They bought into this, as you mentioned, the nationalistic top-down construction that they spent most of the last century trying to convince people is the way this country is supposed to be governed. And, you know, 60 to 70, 80%, I don't know, the number is very high, of the people, they believe it. They're totally bought in. And that's part of the problem is, and as I call it in the book, is that people have to stop buying in. They've spent so much of their lives living in this matrix that they've built that they not only believe those things, they subconsciously and unconsciously act on them without even really understanding why. They feed the state as it is, just like state legislatures right now feed the federal government and buy in and allow them to get away with all the intrusion at the state level and all of the mutation and all of the illegal laws that they pass at the federal level and that they try to apply to the states that have no constitutional basis whatsoever. So yeah, this is an enormous problem. But my view has always been, and the one I tried to express in the book so people, number one, don't feel like there's no hope, and two, they have a plan of action to act on, is that I kind of take the infantryman's view, even though I was never an infantryman. I was in the Navy. But I take the, I guess you could say, the Marine infantryman's view that you always have to move out from where you're at. And for most people, that means local politics. And that's probably the easiest place for them to start, is right at their local level with their city council, their county commissions, their school boards. They have to, I mean, there are so many problems right at that level that if we don't get that level, there's no hope we're going to change anything at the federal level.
I'm getting a message from Dr. Kate here in my back room chat that the sound is kind of breaking up in the studio. We may end up having to make a phone call in, and it may be, I'm hearing you loud and clear, Jeff, but I'm not sure why Kate's getting a different reaction than that, because it seems to be pretty clear here. Now she says there's no sound. Let's see what our folks in the chat room are saying about that. Are you hearing clearly? Let's just get some confirmation. We may be still recording properly, and the podcast may be fine on it. The archive may be good, but I'm just checking with the people in our chat room now and see if they're having the same kind of experience.
Okay.
Kate, are you still not getting any sound? Can you talk to us, Kate? Let me ask her if she's hearing at all, because I'm not getting any response from anybody in the in the chat room.
Nope, may have gone out. May have gone dead then.
Yeah, you and I have a good connection, but we may not. Let me pull that particular thing back up and see if I'm still connected. Yeah, I'm still connected to Revolution Radio, so I'm not getting any response from anybody in the chat room. And Kate's not hearing us. What I'm going to do is I'm going to call back in on that connection. Just hang on. We'll just stay on this connection, and I will hang up from Revolution.